'Tis strange, my Theseus, that these lovers speak of.
More strange than true. I never may believe these antic fables, nor these fairy toys. Lovers and madmen have such seething brains, such shaping fantasies, that apprehend more than cool reason ever comprehends. The lunatic, the lover, and the poet are of imagination all compact. One sees more devils than vast hell can hold. That is the madman. The lover, all as frantic, sees Helen's beauty in a brow of Egypt. The poet's eye, in a fine frenzy rolling, doth glance from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. And as imagination bodies forth the forms of things unknown, the poet's pen turns them to shapes, and gives to airy nothing a local habitation and a name. Such tricks hath strong imagination, that if it would but apprehend some joy, it comprehends some bringer of that joy. Or in the night, imagining some fear, how easy is a bush supposed a bear?
But all the story of the night told over, and all their minds transfigured so together, more witnesseth than fancy's images, and grows to something of great constancy, but howsoever strange and admirable.
Ah, here come the lovers, full of joy and mirth. Joy, gentle friends! Joy and fresh days of love accompany your hearts.
More than to us, wait in your royal walks, your board, your bed.
Come now. What masks, what dances shall we have to wear away this long age of 3 hours between our after supper and bedtime? Where is our usual manager of mirth? What revels are in hand? Is there no play to ease the anguish of a torturing hour? Call Philostrate.
Here, mighty Theseus.
Say, what abridgment have you for this evening? What mask? What music? How shall we beguile the lazy time, if not with some delight?
There is a brief how many sports are ripe. Make choice of which your highness will see first.
Oh. The battle with the centaurs to be sung by an Athenian eunuch to the harp? Oh, we'll none of that. That have I told my loving glory of my kinsman Hercules. The riot of the tipsy bacchanals tearing the Thracian singer in their rage. Well, that is an old device, and it was played when I from Thebes came last a conqueror. The thrice three muses mourning for the death of learning, late deceased in beggary. Well, that is some satire, keen and critical, not sorting with a nuptial ceremony. A tedious brief scene of young Pyramus and his love Thisbe. Very tragical mirth. Merry and tragical. Tedious and brief. This is hot ice and wondrous strange snow. How shall we find the concord of this discord?
A play there is, my lord, some 10 words long, which is as brief as I have known a play. But by 10 words, my lord, it is too long, which makes it tedious. For in all the play there is not 1 word apt, 1 player fitted. And tragical, my noble lord, it is, for Pyramus therein doth kill himself. Which when I saw rehearsed, I must confess, made mine eyes water. But more merry tears the passion of loud laughter never shed.
What are they that do play it?
Hard-handed men that work in Athens here, which never labored in their minds till now, and now have toiled their unbreathed memories with this same play against your nuptial.
And we will hear it.
No, my noble lord, it is not for you. I have heard it over, and it is nothing, nothing in the world. Unless you can find sport in their intents, extremely stretched and conned with cruel pain to do you service.
I will hear that play. For never anything can be amiss when simpleness and duty tender it. Go bring them in and take your places, ladies.
I love not to see wretchedness o'ercharged and duty in his service perishing.
Why, gentle sweet, you shall see no such thing.
He says they can do nothing in this kind.
The kind are we to give them thanks for nothing. Our sport shall be to take what they mistake. And what poor duty cannot do, noble respect takes it in might, not merit. where I have come, great clerks have purposed to greet me with premeditated welcomes, where I have seen them shiver and look pale, make periods in the midst of sentences, throttle their practiced accent in their fears, and in conclusion dumbly have broke off, not paying me a welcome. Trust me, sweet, out of this silence yet I picked a welcome. And in the modesty of fearful duty, I read as much as from the rattling tongue of saucy and audacious eloquence. Love, therefore, and tongue-tied simplicity in least speak most to my capacity.
So please, your grace, the prologue is addressed. Oh,
let him approach.
If we offend, it is with our goodwill. That you should think we come not to offend, but with goodwill. To show our simple skill, that is the true beginning of our end. Consider then, we come but in despite. We do not come as minding to content you, our true intent is. All for your delight we are not here. That you should here repent you, the actors are at hand, and by their show you shall know all that you are like to know.
This fellow doth not stand upon points.
He hath read his prologue like a rough colt. He knows not the stop. A good moral, my lord. It is not enough to speak, but to speak true.
Indeed, he hath played on this prologue like a child on a recorder. A sound, but not in government.
His speech was like a tangled chain. Nothing impaired, but all disordered. Well, who is next?
Gentles, perchance you wonder at this show, but wander on till truth make all things plain. This man is Pyramus, if you would know. This beauteous lady, Thisbe, is certain. This man with lime and rough cast doth present wall. That vile wall which did these lovers sunder. And through walls, chink, poor souls, they are content to whisper. At the which let no man wonder. This man, with lantern, dog, and bush of thorn, presenteth moonshine. For, if you will know, by moonshine did these lovers think no scorn to meet at Ninus' tomb, there to woo. This grisly beast, which Lionheart by name, the trusty Thisbe, coming first by night, did scare away, or rather did affright. And as she fled, her mantle did she fall. Which lion vile with bloody mouth did stain. Anon comes Pyramus, sweet youth and tall, and finds his trusty Thisbe's mantle slain. Whereat with blade, with bloody, blameful blade, he bravely breached his boiling, bloody breast. And Thisbe, tarrying in mulberry shade, his dagger drew and died. For all the rest, let lion, moonshine, wall, and lovers twain at large discourse, while here they do remain.
I wonder if the lion be to speak.
No wonder, my lord. One lion may when many asses do.
In this same interlude it doth befall that I, one Snout by name, present a wall, and such a wall as I would have you think, that had in it a crannied hole or chink, through which the lovers, Pyramus and Thisbe, did whisper often, very secretly. This loom, this rough cast, and this stone doth show that I am that same wall. The truth is so. And this the cranny is, right and sinister, through which the fearful lovers are to whisper.
Would you desire lime and hair to speak better?
It is the wittiest petition that ever I heard discourse, my lord.
Your Pyramus draws near the wall. Silence!
Oh, grim-looked night. Oh, night with hue so black. Oh, night which ever art when day is not. Oh, night. Oh, night. Alack, alack, alack. I fear my Thisbe's promise is forgot. And thou, O wall, O sweet, O lovely wall, that stands between her father's ground and mine, thou wall, O wall, O sweet and lovely wall, show me thy chink to blink through with mine eyes. Thanks, courteous wall. Jove shield thee well for this. But what say I? No Thisbe do I see. Oh, wicked wall! Through whom I see no bliss! Cursed be thy stones for thus deceiving me!
Well, the wall, methinks, being sensible, should curse again.
No, in truth, sir, he should not. Deceiving me is Thisbe's cue. She is to enter now, and I am to spy her through the wall. Oh, shall see. It will fall pat as I told you. Yonder she comes.
Oh, wall. Full. Oh, wall. Oh, wall. Full often hast thou heard my moans for parting my fair Pyramus and me. My cherry lips have often kissed thy stones with lime and hair knit up in thee.
I see a voice. Now will I to the chink to spy, and I can hear my Thisbe's face. Thisbe.
My love. Thou art my love, I think.
Oh, think what thou wilt. I am thy lover's grace. And like Limanda, am I trusty still.
And I like Helen till the fates me kill.
Not Schaffelus to Procrus was so true.
As Schaffelus to Procrus, I to you.
Oh, kiss me through the hole of this vile wall.
I kiss the wall's hole, not your lips at all.
Wilt thou at Ninny's tomb?
Ninus!
Meet me straightway.
Tide life, tide death, I come without delay.
Thus have I, wall, my part discharged so. And being done, thus wall away doth go.
Now is the mural down between the two neighbours.
No remedy, my lord, when wolves are so willful to hear without warning.
This is the silliest stuff that ever I heard.
The best in this kind are but shadows, and the worst are no worse if imagination amend them.
Must be your imagination then and not theirs.
If we imagine no worse of them than they of themselves, they may pass for excellent men. Oh, here come two noble beasts in, a man and a lion.
I'm not going on.
Do it!
Go on! You, ladies, you whose gentle hearts do fear.
Fear, sir.
The smallest monstrous mouse that creeps on floor may now perchance both quake and tremble here when lion rough in wildest rage doth roar.
Roar.
Then know that I as snug the joiner am, a lion fell, nor else no lion's dam. For if I should, as lion, come in strife into this place, 'twere pity on my life.
A very gentle beast and of a good conscience.
The very best at a beast, my lord, that e'er I saw.
This lion is a very fox for his valour.
True, and a goose for his discretion.
Not so, my lord, for his valour cannot carry his discretion, and the fox carries the goose.
His discretion, I am sure, cannot carry his valour, for the goose carries not the fox. It is well. Leave it to his discretion, and let us listen to the moon.
This lanthorn doth the horned moon present.
He should have worn the horns on his head.
No, he is no crescent, and his horns are invisible within the circumference.
This lanthorn doth the horned moon present. Myself, the man in the moon, do seem to be.
Oh, this is the greatest error of all the rest. The man should be put into the lanthorn. How is it else the man in the moon?
He dares not come there for the candle, for you see it is already in snuff.
I am aweary of this moon. Would he would change.
It appears by his small light of discretion that he is in the wane. But yet, in courtesy, in all reason, we must stay the time.
Proceed, moon.
All that I have to say is to tell you that the lanthorn is the moon. I, the man in the moon, this thorn bush, my thorn bush, and this dog, my dog.
Why, all these should be in the lanthorn, for all these are in the moon. But silence! Here comes Thisbe.
This is old Ninny's tomb.
Nine us!
Where is my love?
Well roared, lion!
Oh, well run, Thisbe!
Well shone, moon. Truly the moon shines with a good grace.
Oh, well moused, lion!
And then came Pyramus.
And so the lion vanished.
Sweet moon, I thank thee for thy sunny beams. I thank thee, moon, for shining now so bright. For by thy gracious golden glittering gleams, I trust to take of truest Thisbe sight.
Excellent.
But stay, O spite, but mark, poor knight, what dreadful dole is here. Eyes, do you see? How can it be? Oh, dainty duck! Oh, dear, thy mantle good. What, stained with blood? Approach, ye furies fell. O fates, come, cut thread and thrum. Quail, crush, conclude, and quell.
This passion and the death of a dear friend would go near to make a man look sad.
Beshrew my heart, but I pity the man.
Oh, wherefore, nature, didst thou lion's frame? Since lion vile hath here deflowered my dear, which was the fairest dame that lived, that loved, that liked, that looked with cheer. Come, tears confound, out sword and wound the pap of Pyramus, I that left pap, where heart doth hop, thus die I, thus. Thus!
Very good, very good.
Now am I dead. Now am I fled. My soul is in the sky. Tongue, lose thy light. Moon, take thy flight. Now die, 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 now die, now die, now die, now die, 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 die.
No! die, but an aced for him, for he is but one.
Less than an aced man, for he is dead, he is nothing.
With the help of a surgeon, he might yet recover and yet prove an ass.
How chance Moonshine is gone before Thisbe comes back and finds her lover?
She will find him by starlight. Here she comes, and her passion ends the play.
Methinks she should not use a long one for such a Pyramus. I hope she will be brief.
A moat will turn the balance. Which Pyramus, which Thisbe is the better? He for a man, God warrant us. She for a woman, God bless us.
She has spied him already with those sweet eyes.
And thus she means Vedelice.
Asleep, my love? What? Dead, my dove? Our Pyramus arise! Speak. Speak. Quite dumb. Dead, dead. A tomb has covered thy sweet eyes. These lily lips, this cherry nose, these yellow cowslip cheeks are gone, are gone. Lovers make moan. His eyes were green as leeks. Oh, sisters free, come, come to me with hands as pale as milk. Lay them in gore, since you have shore with shears his thread of silk. Tongue, not a word. Come, trusty sword. Come, blade, my breast in blue. Farewell, friends. Oh. Thus, this be ends. Adieu. Adieu. Adieu.
Oh. Oh. Moonshine and Lion are left to bury the dead.
Die, and Wall too.
No, I assure you, the wall is down that parted their fathers. Will it please you to see the epilogue, or to hear a Bergamask dance between two of our company?
No epilogue, I pray you, for your play needs no excuse. Never excuse, for when the players are all dead, there need none to be blamed. Marry, if he that writ it had played Pyramus and hanged himself in Thisbe's garter, it would have been a fine tragedy. And so it is truly and very notably discharged. But come, your Bergamask, let your epilogue alone. Tongue of midnight hath told 12. Lovers to bed. 'Tis almost fairy time. I fear we shall outsleep the coming morn as much as we this night have overwatched. This palpable gross play hath well beguiled the heavy gate of night. Sweet friends to bed. A fortnight hold we this solemnity in nightly revels and new jollity.
Now the hungry lion roars, and the wolf behowls the moon, whilst the heavy ploughman snores, all with weary task foredone. Now the wasted brands do glow, whilst the screech owl, screeching loud, puts the wretch that lies in woe in remembrance of a shroud. Now it is the time of night, that the grave's all gaping wide. Every one lets forth his sprite in the churchway paths to glide. And we fairies that do run by the triple Hecate's team from the presence of the sun, following darkness like a dream, now are frolic. Not a mouse shall disturb this hallowed. I am sent with broom before to sweep the dust behind the door.
Through the house give glimmering light by the dead and drowsy fire. Every elf and fairy sprite hop as light as bird from briar, and this ditty, after me, sing and dance it trippingly.
First rehearse your song by rote, to each word a warbling note. Hand in hand with fairy grace, will we sing and bless this place.
Now until the break of day, through this house each fairy stray, to the best bride bed will we, which by us shall blessed be, and the issue there create, ever shall be fortunate. So shall all the couples three ever true in loving be, and the plots of nature's hand shall not in their issues stand. Never mole, hair lip, nor scar, no mark prodigious such as are despised in nativity shall upon their children be. With this field you consecrate, every fairy take his gate, and each several chamber bless through this palace with sweet peace, and the owner of it blessed ever shall in safety rest. Trip away, make no stay, meet me all by break of day.
If we shadows have offended, think but this and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these visions did appear, and this weak and idle theme no more yielding but a dream. Gentles, do not reprehend. If you pardon, we will mend. And as I am an honest puck, if we have unearned luck, now to scape the serpent's tongue, we will make amends ere long. Else the puck a liar call. So, good night unto you all. Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends.
A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare. Amanda Root played Hermia, Saskia Wickham, Helena, Rupert Penry-Jones, Lysander, and Clarence Smith, Demetrius. Adjoa Ando played Titania, David Harewood, Oberon, and Richard McCabe, Puck. Roy Hudd played Bottom, Richard Cordery, Quince, John Hollis, Snout, Alex Lowe, Flute, Sidney Livingston, Starveling, and John Dalimore, Snug. Paul Shelley played Theseus, Sophie Heyman, Hippolyta, and Geoffrey Whitehead, Aegeus and Philostrate. Aisha Kosoko was the first fairy. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The musicians were Barbara Snow on trumpet, Kate St. John on oboe and saxophone, Dennis Rawlins on trombone, Mike Daniels, tuba, Mike Moa, flute, Michelle Charimutu, percussion, and Nicolina Kramwinkel, Jules Singleton, Anne Solomon, and Sally Herbert on violin. Melanie Strover and Rachel Scott on viola, Sean Bell and Nick Cooper on cello. Dominique Legendre played guitars and synthesizer. The singers were Sarah Tuakli, Simon Sofonor, Gail Newton, Paolo da Silva, and Richard Quine. The music was composed and conducted by Dominique Legendre. A Midsummer Night's Dream was directed by Clive Brill.